presence, we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Call to worship. Call to the Lord. You know, He's calling each and every one of us right now. And this altar is open, but if anyone has come in this morning with a broken heart or a situation in your life that just seems unbearable, or if you haven't turned your life over to the Lord, you're wondering what it's all about, that you can feel His presence, that you can feel His love every and every time we gather together in His house or in His name. That we gather together. We just want to let you know this altar is open and we'll be glad to pray with you this morning. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we renew that walk with the Lord. You may have been with the Lord since you were a child and felt like, you know, just felt, well, I've done it. Been there, done that. That's not what it's all about. That relationship where we can feel His holy presence at any time, no matter where we're at, no matter what battle we're facing. And that's what we want to feel. I have to admit, that song there was sung almost every Sunday when I was coming back to the Lord, when He was calling me back. Couldn't get away from it. And every time I hear it now, it just brings tears to my heart and my soul that I just love the Lord and I just praise His holy name. Welcome this morning to First Pentecostal. What a better way than just open up worshiping our Lord and just feeling His holy presence and knowing that we're in the house of the Lord. Turn around and tell somebody that Jesus loves them this morning as we go together. Praise God, praise God. It's good to see y'all this morning, all of our visitors, all of our friends. It's a special day when we can all gather in His house. We thank the Lord for His freedom and for all that we have that we can come together. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open our service. We're not open. It's already been opened. God opened it. He prepared it when we woke up this morning. He knew who was going to be here and what's going to be preached and what songs are going to be sung. And He knows exactly what we need. But we're going to go to prayer, and there are needs right now. There are situations. We see the text blasts that go out. We know of our prayer box, and don't forget about it. It's a special place that people have written down a prayer request. There's been a lot of victories that box is. And it's not the box. It's Jesus and His name that we pray in. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning and open up our service. We want to remember all those that are traveling. I know with vacation season, and I've been talking about kids getting out of school because I know part of my family's up in Virginia and at the Outer Banks up there having fun right now. But Lord, keep them safe on the road. Keep all of y'all safe as you travel and your family members. But there are those that are sick and shut in. There are those that aren't able to be here. There are family members that the Lord brings to our heart every time we gather that you wish they were with you or you miss. Maybe they live in another state, another country, but they know exactly that you're praying for them. So as we get ready to pray, if you have a prayer request or need, show by the raising of your hand. God sees each and every one. You know, He knows things that we can't even put into words. He knows the depths of our heart. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for the opportunity You've given us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we come this morning, dear Lord, just to worship, to praise, dear Lord, we come this morning to lift You up and honor You. Lord, we ask You now, dear Lord, to receive our praise and our offering, dear Lord, of love. And Lord, our smiles as we come to You, dear Lord, or our tears as we worship and praise You. Lord, we know that we're in Your holy presence, dear Lord. We know that we're in the house of God. But, dear Lord, we thank You for being with us even when we're not able to be here, dear Lord. For those watching online, Lord, we know that You're with them now, dear Lord. We know that You're pricking hearts, dear Lord, that You're healing. Lord, that You're letting those feel Your holy presence. Dear Lord, as we come now, dear Lord, we lift up each and every prayer request to You this morning, each and every need. Lord, You've seen the hands that were raised, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. Lord, we know that You put into place everything. You've given us the Holy Ghost. You've given us the Spirit of Your love, dear Lord. And we know that You're seeking those that are lost. And, dear Lord, You're healing those that are in need. And, dear Lord, that You're strengthening those that are weak. Lord, we praise You this morning. Dear Lord, we honor You. Lord, we ask You to receive each and every song sung, each and every instrument played, each and every hand that's raised, dear Lord, as worship to You and to You alone. Lord, it's not about us. It's all about You. And Lord, we love and praise you this morning. We pray for the children's church. Lord, we pray for those that have been preparing all the celebrations that we're going to celebrate today, dear Lord. But most of all, Lord, we praise you. And Lord, we ask you to touch us now, dear Lord. Let us feel your holy presence, dear Lord, as we seek you. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Praise the Lord. I know nobody can keep up with what the Lord lays on my heart, so I had a song picked out, but you know, I think we want to praise the Lord, so I think we should do a chorus or two of Jesus. That's who we're talking about. That's who our salvation is. It's Jesus. Y'all sing with us this morning as we do. I got the choir. We'll let them in Jesus. What a powerful name. The one and only name, Jesus Christ. Seated if you can. We've got a couple of quick announcements. We're going to take up our morning offering and turn it over to the choir this morning as we continue our service. Just don't forget, for those of you that haven't heard the announcement, July 10th through 13th is Vacation Bible School, VBS. We're going to be meeting here. Really excited about it this year. There's a lot going on, a lot of preparation, as y'all know, each and every year for Vacation Bible School. And I'm going to tell you, I guess maybe I'm getting a little bit older, because when I get to meet some of the people that from the neighborhood and from the area that used to come when they were kids, and now they're bringing their kids here to Vacation Bible School. It's so wonderful. And it's a wonderful group that comes, and we're just really excited about it. Be in much prayer for it. If you'd like to help or in any way, please let us know. Sister Karen is preparing and everything going forward, and it's going to be a wonderful time. Matter of fact, that Sunday night, the 10th, will be the kickoff. So make plans to come. Invite somebody. If you're a parent, grandparent, or neighbors, just make preparation for Vacation Bible School. And also on June 18th, which that's coming up pretty quick, We're having our church work day that morning. It's going to be at 8 a.m. Make plans to come. We get a lot of folks here. We knock this out. We do it every summer. A lot of cleaning, a lot of just prettying up God's house and whatever direction they have us to go this service. And we'll go from there. And also that afternoon, Brother Spray's church will be having a car show and a barbecue over on their new property where they're preparing a way and for them to build them a new church. So we're really excited about that. So really love each and every one of you. That's the only announcement. Got handy anything else? No? I get that enough on vacation? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Stands, and
Too tall to climb. No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of the Red Sea wrestling down? Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around. But the good Lord brought you through walking on dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify?
If you cried out for a miracle and you seen him do the impossible,
can I get a witness?
Are you standing in a fire and the flames won't let you go, but you're still holding on to a single thread of hope that the Lord can deliver, and you won't even smell like smoke. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify?
If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible,
can I get a witness?
If you can't stay silent, if you can't keep quiet, then here's your chance. Here's your chance, church.
Can I get a witness?
Just go on and raise your hand.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify?
If you cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible,
glory. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Can I get two witnesses? Wonder what would happen if we had a church full of witnesses. Praise and worship and glorifying God. Amen. Has he ever done anything for you? Give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Glory. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Church, let all of our visitors know how welcome they are and how much we love them. How glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. My, it's just good to feel the mighty presence of God. Now, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a news flash here. It's all right to shout during the sermon, too. Amen. I love praise and worship. I love to glorify God. Amen. But I love the Word as well. Amen. When you know the Word and you have it in your heart, amen. How many knows who can have the Word written on the tables of our heart? Amen. That'll make you shout even when the music quits. That'll make you shout on Monday morning. Amen. When things are not going really good. God bless you this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the scary book. Book of Revelation. It's not scary if you know the Lord. I said you don't have anything to fear if you got Jesus in your life. Man, this is a prelude to things that are transpiring, things that are to come. When I was a small child, I was sitting in the congregation, and the preacher said, turn to Revelation. My knuckles would just begin to turn. I begin to grab the pew. So I knew hellfire and brimstone was coming down surely that night, you know. But amen, if you got Jesus, I said, if you got Jesus, amen, you have nothing to fear, amen, because God is the opposite of fear. In the book of Revelation, the second chapter this morning, I'm going to take my text from the first four verses of the second chapter of the book of Revelation. Thank you for standing. I will not keep you standing long. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. I wished I had a bullhorn to say that. I want that to echo in our hearts and in our hearing this morning. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we do love you this morning, and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your abounding love, your wonderful mercy. Thank you for those who've gathered here this morning, God, and I pray you just open up the window of heaven. God, pour out an anointing and a blessing upon this group of people. Father, I humbly ask that you would use this vessel, God, as you see fit. Lord, anoint these lips of clay. Speak that to us, Lord, that we need to hear. We need direction, God, and we need encouragement. Father, I pray this morning that you would reach out to those who are lost and undone, those who seemingly are unconcerned about where their soul is going to spend eternity. Father, I ask you, too, to touch and bless those who are hurting this morning. Many are sick, many are afflicted, many are having battles. Father, I pray, God, that mercifully you would reach out with a healing hand to them. And Father, we'll look to you, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. If you love him, give him a hand clap of praise. And you may be seated. Man, praise God. How could you not love the Lord? Amen. That sounds so redundant, but how could you not love the Lord? For he is love, and he first loved us. This morning, for a message thought, I want to ask a form of a question. Have we left our first love? Have we left our first love? There's many interesting facts in these first four verses of chapter 2. And I want to bring just a few of them to our attention this morning, if I might. First and foremost, I think it's very important to know who the Lord was speaking through to John the Revelator. If you remember, know your Bible, John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. God began to speak to him mightily. There was no interruption. There was no Wi-Fi. There was no TVs. There was nothing on there to get his attention other than hearing from the voice of God. And God began to use him, and he began to write down the things that God spoke to him. Now, I want you to understand that this instruction was not necessarily to the world. It was more specifically to the church. And even to be more specific, it was to the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians. But I believe that it would apply to the church today. The church is a wonderful thing. Great and mighty things have been done through the church. Not the building, but the body of Christ. And I'm just wondering here, if anybody today is so happy and appreciative for the fact that you are part of the church of the living God, that your name is on the roll book in the Lamb's Book of Life, amen, that you're alive and well because of the mercy and grace of God, and you know that His Spirit won't leave you nor forsake you. Do you know what an honor that is? Do you know what a privilege that is? We ought to be and should be the happiest folks in the world. We're certainly the most blessed. But as the Lord spoke to John, he began to write down these things. There were some interesting things that were going on in the church. The church is a good place. I said the church is a good place. The assembling of the saints is beneficial. It's a good place to carry your family. It's a good place to regularly attend. It's a good place to support. It's a good place to pray one for another. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves, encouraging, lifting one another up, and praying for one another. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy being a part of church. Amen? But the Bible tells us here that the Lord God was somewhat concerned about the exploits of the church. Now, good things were happening. In fact, he mentioned that. Let's look at what the church of Ephesus were practicing. First of all, he said, I know your works, and you're doing a good work. It's wonderful to know that the church is doing a good work. Do you know the church ought to be the one that reaches out to the homeless? Do you know the church ought to be the one to lift up our leaders in prayer? Instead of putting them down, lift them up in prayer, praying for this nation, praying for those who are in leadership, praying for our first responders, praying for those who are on the battlefield. Amen. The church ought to be a vibrant, working prayer station for everything that's transpiring in the world today. Let me tell you something. If we leave it up to the world to pray, there's not going to be much prayer. But I think that we have a church. We need to raise up like a church, and we need to band together and pray like we've never prayed before. Pray for one another. And if you run out of things to pray for, put me on the list. Man, so I desire your prayers. Tell them I know their works. I don't have anything against their works. They're beneficial. They're helpful. And I admire and appreciate them for their works. Let them know that their labor, their energy does not go unnoticed by the Lord God. And I'm thankful they have the energy to serve in capacities and ministries and outreaches and all the different things that go along the operation of a church. And let them know that I'm impressed with their patience. They that wait upon the Lord shall get frustrated, shall get aggravated, shall get mad, get blowed up, point fingers at the pastor, point fingers at the deacon board. That church ain't where it ought to be. No, they that wait upon the Lord. And I'm not talking about sitting down with your hands folded. I'm talking about waiting in earnest expectation prayer. Amen. Seeking the will of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, when's the last time you begin to fly in the Spirit? They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. Amen. Those will be rewarded greatly by the power of God for those who wait in anticipation with faith for the moving of God. Amen. You know, the church has been waiting for years for the moving of God. What are you doing while you're waiting? Sitting still. Just waiting. Man. What if the engine under the hood of a mighty muscle car, amen, was just sitting there, had all of the power and the horsepower, I mean, to really move down the road, and it's just sitting there because the one little starter hadn't done his work. Saints of God, you can be a starter, amen. You'll be surprised what one spark will turn into. You'll be surprised, just by glorifying and praising God, how contagious it is. And it'd be all right to me if it spread all over the church. Hallelujah. I know your patience. And I know that you abhor and despise evil. Let me tell you something, church. I believe that we've got caught up in pointing a finger of accusation in the wrong direction. We're upset with evil doers. We're upset with people. We're upset with organizations. We're upset with leaders when we ought to be upset with evil. Evil comes from the depths of hell. The adversary, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, is the author of confusion. That's where our anger ought to be. Not with one another, not with different people, but from the basis of where it comes from the pits of hell. That's what we need to be praying. God, help us, deliver us from the evils that Satan brings upon this earth. Church, you're doing a good job in those areas. I'm even impressed with your discernment. He that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, even a sin. But church, you've practiced good discernment. You're doing good from evil, and you carry that over to your church and to your family and your Sunday school classes and in your ministry. You're doing a good job with that. You'll be recommended for that. And I know your faithfulness. I know there's many times you don't feel like it, but you get up and you come to church. And there's many times you don't feel like it, but you open up the Word of God and you begin to read and study, amen, giving your life that nourishment, amen, that it needs to fight the onslaught of the devil. And I know your faithfulness. Even when you don't feel like it, many times you're on your knees praying for the church, praying for one another. And I've seen that and I admire that, and I appreciate the works that the church is doing. And he says, John Wright, nevertheless, there is a time that commendation may turn into condemnation. Doesn't mean God doesn't love us. In fact, it means the opposite. He does love us. But if he sees something lacking in our life, it behooves us to listen to him to point that out. Man, what does this song say? I don't want nothing here to hinder me. Do we really mean that? Are we willing to sacrifice the one thing or the two things that really does hinder us, regardless of the good works and the good prayer and the good discernment and the faithfulness and all those things that go hand in hand to be a Christian? Are we still battling with the one thing, amen, that causes us, amen, to drag around? The one thing that causes us to take our eyes off of God? And God forbid, the one thing that causes us to leave our first love. All the things that he mentioned at the church of Ephesus, all the qualities and the quantities and the accolades are great. Can I point out something to you? All of that without love will get you nowhere. I read where God and love is synonymous. The Bible tells me God is love. You got God, you got love. You need to love one another. You need to love more than just the saints. You need to love more than just your family. You even need to love those who despitefully use you. You need to love your enemies. Pray for them. Encourage them. Pray that God will prick their heart and bring them to an altar of repentance. Oh, glory to God. Church, let me tell you, there's probably not a church that preaches the truth that wouldn't say, you know what? We'd gladly stand up and give our seat to somebody. We want somebody to come in that needs Jesus. The church needs to preach Jesus. We need to preach the love of God. We need to not try to entice them with the things that we have to offer. Let me tell you, I can offer you everything in the world, but it'll get you nowhere. But I can offer you to Jesus, and it'll take you to glory. I said it'll take you to glory. It'll change your life. It'll turn you around. Hallelujah. It'll cause you to look through spiritual eyes. Nevertheless, we have somewhat against thee. Talking to the church. Talking to us. Talking to us. And understand, I'm only presenting to you what God has presented to me. Not specifically talking about this congregation, but if it applies, this congregation needs to hear that as well. Not trying to pick out any individual. God forbid, I never, ever base my sermons on individual matters. I only stand and bring what the Lord has put on my heart, laid on my heart, whether it's something that'll make you run and shout or something that'll make you duck your head. Because the God that I serve loves me enough to point out any discrepancies in my life. Not because I've lost out and backslidden or but there's things that's holding me back. He said, there's something amiss in Ephesus. To the world, it looked like a good, vibrant church. To those that come in, they loved the worship service. Everything was wonderful and great. There was something that was just missing. Something that just wasn't right. They weren't bad people. Church folks. Love God. Didn't love him enough. God forbid that we let anything come between our relationship with God. And let me tell you something. Satan knows those things. I said he knows exactly what to place in your life. You know, he's learned that some of his old weapons of warfare doesn't necessarily work real good with the church. There's certain places and certain things he cannot entice me with. Because it's just like a big red cross that goes over the... They said, no. I am not touching that. I'm not being a part of that. It's almost like the railroad bar that goes down. Amen. Letting me know that danger is present. So Satan has backed off of that. And he's begun to infiltrate our life with smaller, insignificant little hindrances to cause us not to be as much in love with God as we need to be. If you take love out of the church, you have no church. Can't take love out of the Word. It's all about love. And it's not only a one-way love. I know that every one of us is thankful for the love of God. Is he thankful for our love for him above all things? Basically, it is a message of priorities. Priorities. Who knows that priorities get rearranged? You ever had your priorities rearranged? You ever had your day perfectly planned out and all of a sudden everything just something happens and all your plans just get shuffled around? You have to go put your fishing reel up and put your boat back up and all that stuff because things happen that need addressing instantly. We have to rearrange our priorities. I'll tell you what happened at Ephesus. I don't think it happened overnight. I don't think it happened in a few short years. I think it gradually happened. They became so concerned about activities, about the other things, the energetic labor, the discernment, how good we're doing, how great the Lord is blessing us, and all of those things. But what happened, the more that they began to dwell on the things that basically appease the flesh, priority-wise, the love of God didn't fall out of sight. It was just replaced as the number one priority in the church at Ephesus. Oh, I guarantee you, if you'd ask any one of those Christians at Ephesus, do you love God? Absolutely, I love God. Do you love him more than anything else in this world? Well, sure I do. But in their actions, they just took it for granted that God knew they loved him. I wonder, as a pastor, what might happen, hypothetically, if when we open those doors back there and begin to come into a church worship service, and there's nothing wrong with talking to your neighbors and how's your week been or how you been. That's wonderful. That's great. That's wonderful. You love one another. But I'm just wondering if every saint of God who came in that door with their hands raised and they begin to glorify, just telling the Lord how much I love you, how much I praise you. Lord, I'm nothing without you, but with you I can do all things. I come into the house to worship you. I come into the house to lift you up. I come into the house to lay aside every burden, every weight, every sin that does so easily beset me. I come to worship and glorify you in one mind and one accord. I would dare say, amen, we wouldn't have to say, let's all get started. Because the love of God, when we give that love to him, he's going to give that love right back to us. In more ways than you and I could ever, ever imagine. Basically, they took their eyes off of the Lord, therefore losing fellowship with him. You see, we don't really want to admit the one thing that causes us the most problem is of focusing on God and giving him our undivided attention and love, because we can handle that. We'll quickly point out things in other people's lives.
You just need to give that up. You need to quit doing that. You need to be like me and worship the Lord.
I think we need a spiritual mirror sometime to look and say, Lord, what is it in my life? I want you to understand, folks, everything that God mentioned was not sinful. He knew their work. He knew their energy. He knew their labor. He knew their patience. He knew all those things. It's not that you're doing a great sin. It should let you these things slip up in importance and be taken on more importance than your love of God. Have we in fact left our first love? Not completely. We've just let it slip down on the list of priorities. I could remember days. Saints of God couldn't wait to get to church. We can't wait to get it over. My grandson has asked me, "Papa, you got a long sermon or a short sermon?" I said, "I never know." But I remember days when people would get there, you know, and what they would do, they wouldn't be in fellowship, they'd come to the altar. I'm not telling you you have to do that. I'm telling you it works. And they come in before church and they'd work and pray in the altar and ask God for a mighty moving of His Spirit. Why? Because their love of God superseded everything else in their life. Everything else was put on hold. It was a time to enter into the sanctuary. It was a time to give God all of our glory and all of our praise and all of our honor. And I'm telling you, church, when the churches begin to do that again, and understand, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but church is not about entertaining you. It's not about making you feel necessarily good. It's about preaching you the Word of God, about the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, about His redeeming power, about how He's able to take a sin-sick soul and raise him up out of the pits and set him on a solid rock and establish his goings. It's about praise. It's about worship. It's about concentration on the power of God. Hallelujah. Have we left our first love? When works become more important than loving Jesus, then church becomes routine. I remember being raised up in church. We had no idea what was going to happen. Nothing ever surprised us. Shocked us sometimes, but never surprised us. Man, I was a little old bitty boy, and after church, me and my brother used to have a game. Who could pick up the most bobby pins off the floor? I mean, I see things of God. Ever before the twist and the jerk, was that they would do it. And listen, I ain't saying you got to do that to feel the presence of the Lord. I've also seen saints of God just sit there and squall like a baby. Tears just flowing down their throat. And you know what? That's just as much worship to them as it is circling the church. Amen. Whatever moves you, let it move you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's been times I want to run. There's been times I want to dance. There's been times I want to cry. There's been times I just want to praise the Lord. But whatever you do, make sure you're doing it for the Lord. Amen. That you love Him more than anything else in this world. Hallelujah. Let it be number one. In fact, it should be so much farther ahead of number two, whatever the number two thing is in your life. God's not asking you to get rid of everything in your life. He's just saying, seek me first. Seek me first. Let me tell you something, folks. Priorities are very, very important in the worship and service of God. As I said, church is not meant for entertainment. The music is entertainment, and certainly we enjoy that praise and worship, but it's not here to entertain you or just to make you feel good. And if we're more leaning toward that rather than letting people know that you need Christ in your life, then maybe we need to check. But thank God our praise and worship always talks about the Lord, always talks about the blood, always talks about a changing of life. Thank God for that. I don't know if this will go very well or not. But I don't think church is a social club either. And I'm not saying that we've done that, but I know some churches that it's more of a social thing than it is a spiritual thing. And I'm not here to put down churches. I'm just here to say we have a tendency to let things rise up more important than loving God. And that's what he said. Nevertheless, All these other things are good, but nevertheless, you've left your first love. Going to church is not for prestige or being prideful. It's a place to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. It's not about competition. It's not about who had the best singers, who had the biggest crowd, who did that. And thank God. I want somebody to get saved. I don't care what church they get saved in. Amen? Because this is just a meeting place. Amen? The church is far bigger than what you see sitting here today. I'm glad to be a part of the church. Amen? I'm glad to be a part of the born-again saints. We need revival in the land. It's not about competition. And it's not a concert hall either. Amen? It's a place of worship and praise unto the Lord. If, in fact, the Scripture touches you, if, in fact, it makes you take a spiritual inventory of your life, have I let other things slip up? Be a little bit more important than they need to be. Lord, forgive me. Because I want my love for you to be the most important thing in my life. Because I believe that we are that important in God's eyes. He loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. That through His precious shed blood, we can be saved and born again. And be made to enjoy this. And I'll tell you what. If God is truly first and foremost in your life, the praise and worship become so much easier. Amen. You can glorify and praise God not only in church but every day of your life. Quite simply, the church is a place of worship. Amen. Not the church. We don't worship the pastor. We don't worship the church. We worship Jesus Christ. Matthew 22, 36 through 38, and I'll try to close. The question was asked of Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. You ask Him a question, you're going to get an answer. It may not be what you want, but you're going to get an answer. But it'll be right, and it'll be truth. Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. If we're not loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, then we're neglecting, hopefully, not walking away from our first love. Jesus talks about we love Him because He first loved us. I'm a firm believer, and we really don't know how to love. We think we do until Jesus Christ becomes Lord and Savior of our life. I will tell you this, love carries a lot more powerful meaning now it does since I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my life than it did before. Amen. You know, we throw that word around loosely so many times. We love this and we love that, and that means we're, you know, greatly fond of it. But when we say, I love Jesus, how can we say that if our heart, our mind, and our soul is not in it? And unfortunately, there may be some today that have slipped a little bit and left their first love. That first love will always be the Lord. It will always be Jesus. God bless you. From the depths of my heart, I do love you. Amen. And if you love God, you're going to love one another. You're going to love one another. Amen. We love you so very much, and we're so thankful that you came to worship the Lord with us this morning. I pray that we'll have that mindset when we enter those doors to put God first in our life and to worship Him. If you would stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, might ask our music if they would return just to play a course or two is giving you an opportunity. You know, I want to assure you, you don't have to be lost to come to this altar. If you are, it's a good place to come. But if you have let other things kind of slip into your list of priorities, and maybe you just want to regulate those and reorganize those and make sure that God is first. There's nothing wrong with coming and saying, Lord, I just want to, you know, I want a refreshing. God, and I want to just give you my undivided attention and love. Lord, I just need you to work out these things in my life and in this list, and let my relationship with you be the most important thing. While no one is looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, is there one that would want to come? This altar is for saints alike. God bless these that are coming. Appreciate them so much. Some of you elders, if you would, if you love God, then you love your saints. Come and gather around. Let's pray.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Hallelujah.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song, hallelujah, of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have gone. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Yes, it does. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me. Child of God, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm no longer to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all the stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. And all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Who would take my cross to Calvary? Pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Jesus, change your life.
Yes, praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Are you ready for a miracle? Ready as I can be, are you? Ready for a miracle? His Spirit will set you free. Are you ready? 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 Are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for a miracle? Ready as I can be, are you? Ready for a miracle? His Spirit will set you free. Are you ready? 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 Are you ready for a miracle? Jesus went up to the wedding and made the water wine. Raised up Lazarus from the dead, brought sight to the blind. Jesus, man of Galilee, he told the multitude, if you'll do just what he said, he'll do the same for you. Oh, are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for a miracle? His spirit will set you free. Are you ready? 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 Are you ready for a miracle? Blessed be the ones who mourn, for they shall find their peace. Blessed be the ones who thirst. Blessed be the meek. Are you ready? Are you ready? Blessed be the innocent, for they shall all be free. Blessed be the miracle that's waiting for you and me. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for a miracle? I can't be. Are you ready for a miracle? His spirit will set you free. Are you ready? 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 Are you ready for a miracle? Jesus taught the lame to walk. He spoiled the devil's plan. Healed the lepers, fed 5,000 with just one command. Jesus, man of Galilee, told the multitude, blessed be the pure of heart, for they shall see the truth. Are you ready for a miracle? Ready as I can be. Are you ready for a miracle? His spirit will set you free. Are you ready? 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 Are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for a miracle?
Ready as I can be.
Are you ready for a miracle?
His spirit will set you free.
Are you ready? 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 Are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready? Are you ready for a miracle? I'm ready for a miracle.
Day of my life. just the mention of your name. Jesus, just the mention of your name. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again. Like fire in winter cold.
Each and every one of you. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. We know He's answering prayers right now. He is an on-time God. And we love each and every one of you. We thank you for being part of this service this morning. There's still prayers going on, but I have an announcement to make for those of you that aren't aware. I just want the Lord just to continue. I don't want to interfere with the flow of His, all that He's doing. But each and every one of you, we're having a celebration right after service as we get ready to depart. And each and every one of you are invited over to the Curtis Center. We're having a birthday celebration for our pastor. He grows 1 year younger. And I want to continue. I don't want to interrupt anyone's needs this morning. But I was asked to announce, for those of you that may not know, I know some people have left, but you're all welcome, whether you brought something or not. Got a covered dish supper going on, lunch going on over there. And we're going to continue here at the altar. If anyone still needs prayer, come on up. That's not through. And I'm not interrupting at all, but I just, as we were seeing people leave, we just want people to know that we are having a luncheon and a little celebration, and it's not much, but we really appreciate our pastor. We love our pastor. God has blessed us with our pastor. And I guess the best thing I can say, I'm still older than him. He has a birthday, which is coming up in 2 days. Right? I have to get my dates right. So I was asked also to bless the food over there too. And I want to thank everybody that's brought something, everybody that's anything to do with preparing, those over there getting the tables ready, and beautiful decorations. There's been so much work going into this. So if y'all would join us. And also I was asked to announce there is choir practice today at 5 p.m. So if you're in the choir, would like to be, come join us. And again, this altar's open. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. And as people were drifting that way already over the meal, and ask God to bless it, ask Him to bless our pastor. We just want Him to multiply His years, multiply His voice as He's used it so much to worship and praise God. What a wonderful message this morning, right? Amen. Remember our first love, and that's Jesus Christ. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for our service. We thank You for all our visitors. We thank You for Your love. But most of all, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, your word is powerful, dear Lord. It's enlightening. It's healing. It's to be magnified. It just lifts each and every one of us up. It is our comfort zone, dear Lord, and may we put you first in all that we do. Dear Lord, now we ask you to bless the festivities as we go to celebrate Brother Eddie's birthday. Lord, we thank you for each and everyone in attendance, for each and everyone that had anything to do with it. Lord, we just ask you to bless them. Lord, now as we go over, bless the food. Lord, bless it to nourish our body and soul. And the Lord, prepare us for our service tonight. May we come in one mind and one accord tonight for our service. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.